Hello, hello, and welcome back to Mona's Rants. I'm your host, Mona Sheikh. I hope you guys all had a good weekend. I had a really fun weekend. I went to the marina, hung out with a friend of mine on a boat. It's not as fancy as you think it is. It literally isn't, but it was a lot of fun. Everything that happened last week about the, as I like to call it, the creep culture has seeped into this week. Welcome, whoever is tuning in right now. Today I want to talk about the creep culture, okay? I know this is a new term. I don't think a lot of people have heard about it, but I'm going to hashtag creep culture, okay? I don't know if you guys heard, but Christia, who's a comedian, who was on the show Whitney, he's a son of a very famous executive producer named Bill D'Elia, who executive produced Law & Order. Chris D'Elia is a comedian and has sexual allegations against him for soliciting sex with underage girls. I mean, he was literally hitting up high schoolers with like Capri Sun and Lunchables. Okay, I'm just kidding. That's not what he was doing. He was like, literally, if you see some of the text messages and the emails and just the vile messages that he was sending these underage girls, you say to yourself, man, you're a rich, you know, fairly good looking, tall, kind of an attractive guy, you got money, what is your problem? Why do you gotta hit up underage girls, man? And that's called pedophilia, kids. That's what that's called. But I wanna talk about the creep culture a little bit more, because I don't know if you guys heard, but today, this whole thing about Michael Bay came out and Megan Fox, which was really disturbing, and I'm gonna get into that in 2 minutes. But, you know, every day it just seems like another male is outed. Like, it just seems that, and every other day there's an actor, there's a director, there's a stand-up comic who's a creep job, who's just out there just trying to get sex, which is fine if you want to get sex. There's nothing, I'm not sex shaming you. God bless if you want to do that. Just do it with the people who want to consent. Hi, James, how you doing? You want to do it with the people who consent, who are age appropriate. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. But soliciting sex with underage girls, or being predatorial, or being creepy, trying to get sex out of people that who don't want to fuck you, they don't want to fuck you. Like, get the fucking message. Like, it's screwed up, okay? Megan Fox. Oh my God. The gorgeous Megan Fox was on Jimmy Kimmel back in 2009. And this interview with Jimmy Kimmel resurfaced, and it's making rounds on the internet. And there people are asking for Jimmy Kimmel to be canceled. And it's a really, it's a really harrowing interview, in the sense that if you watch it, hi, Tim, nice to see you. I think, oh, thanks, James, appreciate it. You're so sweet. I think if you listen to if you watch Megan Fox's interview on Jimmy Kimmel, and this is back in 2009, which, you know, is only like, what, 11 years ago, so it's not like that long of a time. And I watched the interview, and it's just horrible. It's just, the way she gets treated is just horrific. And I was reading the transcript of what she said, and this is what she says about Michael Bay, okay? She said, I had just turned 15, and I was an extra in Bad Boys 2. They were shooting this club scene, and they brought me in, and I was wearing a Stars and Stripes bikini and a red cowboy hat and 6-inch heels. Michael Bay approved it, and they said, Michael, she's 15, so you can't sit her at the bar, and she can't have a drink in her hand. So his solution to that problem was to then have Megan dancing underneath a waterfall, getting soaking wet, okay? So the audience then laughs, and Kimmel says, perfectly wholesome, because that's the appropriate response at that moment. Clarifying her age, Fogg goes on, she's like, at 15, I was in 10th grade. That's kind of a microcosm of how Bay's mind works. And then Jimmy Kimmel responds by saying, yeah, well, that's really a microcosm of how all our minds work. Some of us have the decency to repress those thoughts and pretend that they don't exist. And then Megan Fox replies, okay, and then looks out at the audience before saying, right, right. Like, and the crowd just goes on laughing, and it's just totally fine. It is really gross that I guess even back then, and it's not just Jimmy Kimmel, it's also the society of how it accepts it, that sexualizing a 15-year-old girl and then having dirty thoughts about her, about wanting to have sex with her because she's an underage 15-year-old, and then Jimmy Kimmel replying by saying, oh yeah, some of us have the decency to not verbalize that, you know. Are you actually sexualizing and fantasizing about 15-year-olds? Because if you are, you fucking need help. You should not be allowed near 15-year-olds. You should not be allowed around underage girls if that's actually your fantasy. Because what you're telling the world is you're a goddamn pedophile. Like, even if you're turning, if you're waiting for a girl to turn 18, that's still pretty fucking pedophilic. Like, there's no ifs or buts about it. It's not like, well, it's up for debate. No, it's not. It is not up for debate. As a girl who went through puberty and had all these weird, creepy guys trying to hit you up and trying to, like, sexualize you as your body's developing is fucking weird. I think, here's the thing, Jimmy Kimmel just announced that he's going on vacation because not only has this controversy plagued him, but apparently he also has a controversy brewing about blackface. So back in 1999, there was a show called The Man Show, which I very specifically remember because my brothers loved to watch that show, and I would watch the show with my brothers because I had no choice but to watch it with them, because we lived in a one-bedroom basement apartment, and that's all the room we had, okay? And I remember that the Man Show would come on, and my brothers loved watching it. It was highly misogynistic. I remember being uber uncomfortable watching the show, being a young feminist that I was at that age, and being made fun of by my brothers for being a young feminist. Apparently back in 1999, Jimmy Kimmel dressed up as Karl Malone, a black basketball player in blackface. According to the news out there, they're saying that Jimmy Kimmel has not once apologized for wearing blackface. Now, which brings us to the cancel culture, because everybody's talking about canceling Jimmy Kimmel. They're like, cancel Jimmy Kimmel. Jimmy Kimmel sucks. He did blackface. And now with the Megan Fox controversy, he's not on vacation. He's actually getting canceled, blah, blah, blah. Okay. Look, comedy is a tough business. Okay. I know because I'm in it. And being a woman adds that extra layer of bullshit and sexual harassment and all that crap that I've discussed in the previous video. That being said, I had never, ever, once, before or even now, ever thought of doing blackface for fun or like imitate someone. To imitate someone their face or their culture that way. To me, it's just, it's fucking weird. Like, why would I do that? And second, like when Ashton Kutcher, I don't know if you guys remember this, a few years back, Ashton Kutcher dressed up in brownface and played this character named Raj, who was a producer from India and was doing an Indian accent, and then got his ass chewed out by the South Asian community, and they actually yanked the commercial. I think it was for Pringles, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe I'm wrong. But here's the thing, like, Jimmy Kimmel, look, I love Jimmy Kimmel. I have always loved Jimmy Kimmel, and I'm a little disappointed in him. I really am. I see, like, to me, this kind of shit is just downright offensive. And it all the stuff that is popping up from his past, it's just really upsetting. I mean, I know that as a comedian, I am kind of stepping into a landmine, because cancel culture is a touchy topic among comedians. That's one thing that we talk about. And we're like, are you for the PC cancel culture? Are you not for the cancel PC culture? And, you know, it's not such an easy answer to give as someone who is a stand-up comic, because you're looking at something where you are being told what you can talk about and what you can't talk about, right? You're being given restrictions. So then you're just like, well, what's the point of freedom of speech then? What's the point of saying that comedians have the right to talk about whatever they want, but as long as it fits your narrative? So if they don't, if they talk about shit that doesn't fit your narrative, then they have to get canceled and fuck them and you don't want to watch them. And my take on that is this, okay? And I know some people will get mad at me and some people won't. They'll agree with me or they won't. My thing is that straight, white, and black men have called the shots in stand-up comedy as to what goes and what doesn't, right? But all that is changing rapidly because of people like myself. There's a lot more women in comedy. There's a lot more diversity in comedy. And it's just not just women. It's LGBTQ. It's, people who are physically challenged. There's all kinds of folks that are stepping into the stand-up game. And they are calling out and also dictating a level of narrative that before only that was an equal playing field just for straight black and white comics, but that is no, and male specifically, but that no longer is the case. We are talking about a division of power at the moment. That's where we are in the stand-up world, in the arts world. That's where we are. And people who have been positions of power are really feeling the burn and they don't freaking like it. They just don't. Okay. Is it right? Is it wrong? I don't know. I guess the audience gets to decide that, right? I mean, the audience gets to decide that. The executives get to decide that. As long as, like, their bottom line isn't hurting, right? If executives are like, shit, we are at the verge of, like, losing our freaking advertisers, and how the hell are we going to pay our bills, and how the hell are we going to maintain our staff, and how am I going to pay for my side chick? Well, fuck. You know, we're going to cancel that person because they're costing us money. Bottom line, it costs them money. And that's where the cancel culture has become so powerful, because the everyday man that didn't have access, that didn't have power to say what they need to say, they would have to, you know, go on the internet or go find who the program person is, or, you know, their complaint department and write a letter, write an email. It's not like that anymore. Everything's in real time. You can get on Twitter and start a hashtag that can just catch fire. You can go on Facebook and start a hashtag that can catch fire. You can do the same. You know, there are now social media outlets that give access and power to the everyday person in a manner that it has never done before. I mean, Twitter is crazy. Twitter is like the Wild West to me. You know, people get on there and, man, they go for it. You know, they go after you. If they don't like you or you said something inappropriate, people come raging after you, try to get you canceled. Okay. But it's dangerous. I think what I'm talking about, it's pretty dangerous territory. But here's my take. We are all flawed human beings, right? I think we can all agree on that. I think everyone at some point or another in their life have said or done something stupid that they grew out of it. They grew up and they're like, fuck, that was really fucked up. Like, why did I say that? Or why did I do that? But I think some people really push that boundary real far. Some people go really, really far with that. For instance, in the likes of like Chris D'Elia, who thinks that he is above the law. He somehow thinks he is above powers, where he's like, I got money, I got fame, I got a rich dad, I got a famous dad, I can talk about it and do whatever the fuck you want. Actually, Chris, you can't. You're not, you know, it just depends on how powerful you are. Like, what is your level of power? The only reason Trump has been getting away with the things that he has been getting away is because he became the president of the United States. That's how powerful of a position you gotta be in to try to get away from shit. I mean, look, Jeffrey Epstein, although connected with all these very powerful people, okay, and had secrets of all these powerful pedophiles, you know, in the upper echelon and the upper circles, that motherfucker ended up dead. He's dead, okay? He either killed himself or somebody killed him. God knows what happened, but he's dead. So the bottom line is, if you somehow think that you're invincible, you are not. I don't give a shit how much money you have. I don't give a shit how powerful you think you are. At the end of the day, justice will prevail. Justice will come and get you and bite you in the ass. Justice will come and expose the fact that you've been trying to text message underage girls, calling them sluts and calling them cunts and whatever the fuck you think you're calling them, and you think that that's appropriate. It's fucking not. you're going to get fucked. And that's exactly what happened in the likes of Chris D'Elia. That's what happened in the case of Louis C.K. That's what happened in Harvey Weinstein. That's what happened in Bill Cosby. And the list is going to go on. And there's tons of other people, Matt Lauer, all of these guys. Like, if you think that you can sit up there and abuse your power, I'm sorry, you can't. Those days are kind of over for you guys. I'm sorry. If you're a predator, if you're a sexual predator, yeah, that's not going to work out. Here's the thing. Regardless, we are all flawed, entertainer or not, but in this day and age and the amount of wokeness that we live in today, if you are doing blackface or brownface or being a sexual predator or being a rapist or being a pedophile and you think that will be accepted, you are really mistaken. You are not going to survive. You're not going to survive the backlash. You're just not, because sooner or later it's going to come out, because everybody has smartphones. Sooner or later it's going to come out. It's like people say, oh, well, there's just so much more racism now than ever before. No. In the words of Will Smith, it's not that we have any more racism. It's just that racism getting filmed. That's the difference. Racism is now getting filmed and put on and shared on the internet, and people are legit losing their jobs and losing their livelihood because that shit is being exposed. It's being filmed and it's being shared. That's why shit is getting exposed. And it's no different from being a pedophile. It's no different from being a sexual predator. It's no different from being a rapist. There's no difference. You can't escape this shit. I mean, you can try to move to another country, but your shit's still going to be out there. So put your dick away is what I'm trying to get at. Put your, like, literally just tuck it in. Remember that movie in Silence of the Lambs? Remember the killer, the crazy killer who kills all the girls and takes their skin and sews it up? But there's this one scene where he's in front of the mirror and he, like, tucks his junk in and he closes his legs and he's, like, doing this dance. Do that. Tuck your junk in. We don't need to see it. If we ask, if we want it, we'll ask for it. Okay? Back to the creep culture. It permeates every culture, every society, every country. It's like somehow it's encoded in some people's genetic makeup. It's like this whole one strand in your DNA, in their DNA, that's just dedicated to creepiness. It's like a creep strand in your fucking DNA. And some people just have it and they don't wish to fix it. They think it's normal. They think they're above the law. They think they're going to get away with it. And the truth is that they're not. They're not going to get away with it. Here's another creepy story for you. The Consul General of Pakistan, okay? This is a number of years ago. I get a call out of the blue from the Consul General of Pakistan in Los Angeles that he would like to have a meeting with me at the consulate. And I said, well, this is very strange. Why does the consular would like to meet with me? Why would that be? And he goes, oh, well, the consul general heard about you, that you are one of the famous Pakistani comedians, and he wants to meet you, and he wants to put together some show event at the Pakistani, at the consul general, at the consulate, and he would like you to come and meet him and meet him for tea. Okay. So I show up to the consulate, and he's like this tall, very like charming guy. He's like well into his 50s. His name is Hamed Askar. And we sit down, we start talking. He's like, oh, I want the consulate to be very, very open and very inclusive. And I'm like, oh, that's wonderful. I was like, you know, I can totally put together comedy shows and that would be amazing. We can do like a diverse comedy show. We can have like, you know, South Asians and white comics and black comics and all kinds of comics, you know. And he goes, well, you know, I'm not so sure if we should have black comics. And I'm like, oh my God. Did this racist piece of shit just say no black comics? Like, what the fuck? And I'm like, well, if we're going to talk about a diverse comedy show, I would like to be the one who would like to choose my comedians. And a lot of my black comics are very, very funny. A lot of my black comedian friends that I have are hilarious, and I think it would be a great addition. he goes, well, you know, I want to do this. And he goes, let's have another meeting. And then let's hash out the details. Okay. So at the time, I used to work in Century City. And their office is right, actually, at the border of Century City in Westwood. So I'm there. I'm having a meeting with this producer. And I'm supposed to meet the Consul General, Hamid Asghar, at a bar right close to us. And all of a sudden, I get a text from him. And he's like, hey, can you come meet me downtown at the Staples Center? I'm like, Staples Center at rush hour? If you're in Los Angeles, you know that's like a brutal traffic time. You're like, you don't want to go down there. It's freaking brutal. So I'm just like, hey, I'm in the middle of the meeting and I'm like trying to sneak in a text. And I'm like, Consul General, I apologize, but it's going to be really difficult. Can we just stick to our original plan? And I'll just come meet you at the bar that's right next door to us, because I'm like literally 5-10 minutes away from you. And he texts me a nasty message. He's like, you people, that's why I don't like to work with Pakistanis, because they are so unprofessional. I'm like, hold up, bitch. I am not the unprofessional one. You're the one who's changing plans on me. You're the one who's asking me to come somewhere else. So I excuse myself from the meeting and I call him up. I'm like, Consul General, what is going on? He's like, well, you know, I just asked you to come and meet me downtown. And I was like, calm down. I was like, can't we just stick to that? He's like, no, I have to be downtown and you have to come meet me if you want to meet me. And I'm like, what the fuck? Okay. I wrap up my meeting. I rush down downtown Los Angeles. I meet him at the Staples Center. What does he have? He's like, I want to let you know that I have box seats to go see the Clippers game. And I'm like, is that where we're going right now? I thought we were just having a meeting and just, you know, just talking shop. He's like, no, we are going to go to the, I have a very special connection to the very big Pakistani businessman who has given me access to his box seats. And I was like, okay, to his executive suite. I'm like, okay. I go into this executive suite. So apparently it's a share, right? So it's because it's so expensive. There's all these guys that are like multimillionaires that are there. This is one family, this Iranian family that's sitting there that owns like multiple Burger Kings. There's another very wealthy family. You know, there's like two people, three people. So there's a bunch of people and just food everywhere. And like whatever your heart could desire, they were serving it, right? So I'm like, all right. I'm like, so Consul General, I know you want to watch the game, but I want to talk shop with you. So I was like, so how are we going to do this event? He's like, Mona, relax. Have a drink. Relax. And I'm like, okay. Well, I said, well, I'm not drinking because I'm driving, so I'm not going to drink. But he's like, Mona, I just want to let you know, this is a circle of trust. What you and I have is a circle of trust. Whatever happens between us stays between us, huh? Which is clearly an indication of if we just fuck each other and we just circle of trust, we keep it between us, huh? What do you say, huh? I'm like, first of all, Consul General, this is not a circle of trust. This is a one line forward and one line back. So it's just you and me. So there's no circle of trust. I was like, second, I was like, I don't know what is it that you have in mind, but I don't think we are on the same page here. So either we can stand and we can talk, or we can talk shop, or I can just head home. So he goes, so now he feels rejected. His ego, his pride has been hurt. How dare I reject such a emotionally unavailable Consul General man with a very heavy Pakistani accent. How dare I reject this man? So he goes, you know, that event that I invited you to, he invited me to this event. It is at the house in Beverly Hills, which is sadly paid by the poor people of Pakistan who don't see a lick of that money. And it was like Pakistani Flag Day or some shit. And I brought a comedian friend with me, and he was, he apparently had like a bunch of Pakistanis that were invited, and he goes, you know, the women that were there, those married women, you know, he's like, I have fucked every single one of them. I'm like, whoa. I'm like, I don't need to know this. This is just TMI. He's like, you know, he's like, one of them is going to come with me to go to Las Vegas, and I'm going to Las Vegas to watch the boxing match, and she's going to give me a blowjob all the way to Vegas. And I was like, that's like that's like a 5-6 hour drive to Vegas. I'm like, that's a really long blowjob. I think that might be like the longest blowjob in the history of blowjobs. Like, is this bitch's jaw made of fucking metal? What the fuck? What do you mean she's gonna give you a blowjob for 5 hours? Like, what? What are you talking about? Do you even know what a blowjob is? Blowjobs don't last that long. There's no fucking way that you're gonna last this long. There's just no way. So I was like, that's wonderful. That's wonderful, Consul General. Congratulations on achieving that goal. I was like, you know, I feel really bad for your wife. I was like, and your kids, that you go and cheat on your wife like that, and then you take pride in it. I was like, I don't need to be a part of it. And I was like, that's fine. I was like, that's what you want to do. I just don't need to be a part of this conversation. So we can either talk shop or I'm leaving. And then he goes, that's fine. You can leave if you want. And I was like, oh, no. I'm gonna head out. And then he goes, okay. Calm down. We don't have to talk. We can just, you know, be civil. And I was like, I have been civil this entire time. You, however, have not, because you're too busy talking about getting 5 hour blowjobs, which is unheard of. Like, nobody, I don't care how amazing of a hooker you are or how amazing of a blowjob giver you are. There's no fucking way you can give a 5 hour blowjob. It just doesn't work that way. The gag reflex alone? How are you gonna do that? 5 hours? What are you, like, falling asleep, taking a nap on that dick and just getting up and then continuing? It doesn't work that way. It's outrageous. That is an outrageous claim, sir. I do not believe that you can get a 5 or 6 hour blowjob. That is outrageous. Okay? Finally, whatever, the game ends. And then he keeps talking about, he's like, oh, my friend Muhammad, who has given me this pass, you know, he might join us later. And I was like, well, first of all, there's no, like, orgy party happening here. This is not a threesome of any kind. So I'ma just head out now. So as I'm walking out, I'm walking towards the car, and he goes, you are very rude to me. I have been very nice to you, you know. I was like, nice to me? I was like, you must be out of your goddamn mountain, Consul General. I was like, you have not been nice to me. You have been nothing but rude and aggressive and coming on to me sexually. It's quite disgusting. And I was like, I pray the day that your wife finds out that you're a cheating son of a bitch and she dumps your ass. I was like, I can't wait for that day. I was like, but I'm not worried. Karma's gonna come your way. You know what? You know what the best part about that story is, without, besides me telling this Hamid Asghar guy to fuck off? Not too long after that incident, that night I go home, I call my mom, and my mom's like, oh my God, what the fuck? And I was like, yeah, this is the shit that just went down with the Consul General of Pakistan. And I go home and I tell her that. And then maybe 2 months later after that, I was talking to this Pakistani friend of mine, really, really lovely man, has two wonderful daughters. He's a lovely human being. And I told him about my incident with the Consul General. And he goes, oh, yeah, he's a garbage person. I was like, yeah, you've heard news. And he's like, oh, yeah, there's a lot of people talking shit about him. Not just that, he's also extorted money out of people. So while he was, like, fucking their wives, he was extorting money out of the husbands. Like a real fucking piece of work. And not just that, while he was in London as a Consul General there, he was extorting money out of there also, and also fucking their wives on top of it. So he's a real fucking trash can. Like, he's like the scum of the earth is how to describe this piece of shit, right? So this Pakistani uncle friend of mine, lovely person, he's like, I have some good news to share. And he shares this article with me that there's a full-blown investigation that got launched against this guy, Hamid Asghar, because all the money he's extorted out of businessmen in London, businessmen in L.A., and all the sexual harassment harassment allegations against him. And they literally removed him. They took him out of L.A. and they brought him back to Pakistan. Do you think anything happened to this man when he got back? No. All they did was remove him from here and they placed him somewhere in like Hong Kong or some shit like that. So he continues on with the circle. So the bottom line is no repercussions. Zero repercussions, right? And that is a huge problem globally, right? That's not just a problem in the Middle East or South Asian community. That's a global problem. The reason that these men, the way they have progress and the way they have continued to assault women or to rape women or sexually harass women, is because there have been no repercussions, right? Nobody in a position of power is coming and holding these men to power. The only thing right now that's holding these men accountable is social media and everyday human beings like you and I, right? Everyday people who are going and saying, this shit ain't gonna work. You can't do that shit. That's assault. Like, that's bullshit. You can't do that. I'm not going to watch your shit. And it's interesting how people are now separating. They're not separating art from the artist anymore. They're just like, if you have a shitty personality where you go around sexually harass, sexually assault people, and you still do good work, it doesn't fucking matter. We're still going to fucking try to get you canceled. That's what's happening, which has never happened before. I mean, for God's sake, the longest time, like, just go back to the 50s and the 60s and even the 70s, even the 80s, what kind of sexual shit people were getting away with because there were no repercussions, because people were like, well, he's still a good artist. Well, she's such a good person. She's such a good, you know, beautiful, whatever. And people were separating that. But it's not like that anymore. People are putting that shit together. They're like, okay, maybe you're a good artist. Maybe you are that, but you're also this fucking predator. But you're also somebody who is corrupt and somebody who's a garbage person that I want no part of. And that's where we are right now as a culture. I don't understand that when men become predators, they're very well aware of what they're doing. It's not like they're fucking unconscious. Have they forgotten that they come from women? Have men forgotten that? Like, if it wasn't for women, men would not be here. So do you not have a mother? Do you not have a sister or a wife or a girlfriend? Or do you not, or maybe one day you're going to be a father of one? You know, people don't think about that, like, for a second, to be like, man, I wouldn't want my daughter treated that way. I wouldn't want my sister treated that way. I wouldn't want my mom treated that way. I wouldn't want my wife treated that way, my girlfriend. You know, I wouldn't want my female cousins treated that way. I wouldn't want all my female friends, for that matter. I wouldn't want them treated this way. So why would you think that it would be okay for you to go ahead and assault people that way or treat women that way and then somehow pass it off and say, sorry, my bad. And then ta-da-da-da-da. And it's just like, no, there's repercussions. There's financial and career repercussions to your shitty fucking actions. And that's where we are as a culture, you know? And you have to understand that because America has always led culturally, globally, because the rest of the world follows culturally what is it that we do, that is now permeating in different societies. And people are standing up and calling shit out. Maybe not on the level and not at the speed that is happening in the U.S., but it's definitely happening. People are definitely getting called out. People are losing their careers. They are losing their livelihood because of garbage, shitty things that they have done or have continued to do. So a lot of the guys that I've noticed, especially male comics that I've seen complaining, are all straight white male comics with a handful of straight, you know, black comics thrown in also, who are just like, yeah, they're like, yeah, fuck cancel culture, fuck PC culture. And maybe they have a point, but maybe not. You know, the thing is that when you have had equal rights all your life, sharing those equal rights with, you know, historical groups of people that have not had this level of equal rights feels a little bit like oppression. And that's exactly what's happening right now. We are talking about female comics like myself, who are, I'm not just a female comic, I'm also a woman of color, where I want to also play on equal playing field. And that feels like oppression to these straight white male comics. It feels like oppression. They're just like, I don't want to share this power with her. Who the hell is she? I don't want to share this kind of this kind of playing field with this comic. I just want to do that. I have no idea why I'm breaking up. Oh, can you see me? Let me try something here. I'm going to remove myself for 1 second. All right, I'm back. Hopefully this would work. I have no idea why all of a sudden it's breaking up. All right, I'm gonna carry on and talk about the thing I want to talk about. So, I know that some of the male comics that I've come across have been like, well, you know, you can't even compliment a girl. If you compliment her, she's going to take it the wrong way, and she's going to say that, you know, you're sexually harassing her, and that's not cool, you know, and I don't, you know, and you just can't even compliment a girl today. And it's like, no, you can compliment a girl. Just don't grab her ass and titties when you do it, you know. Just don't maybe pull your dick out. Maybe, like, not do that. Like, that's a... That might be a good idea to, you know, say hello. Have you ever said hello without touching a woman's ass or complimenting her titties? Have you ever done that? It actually works. We are pretty receptive of that. Uh-oh, I'm hearing a comment here. I don't know what's acting up right now. Oh, audio's fine? Okay, great. Bad video, got good audio. Okay, well, thank you. Thank you, James. Thank you for that. Yeah, I don't know why the video all of a sudden got weird on me. I think the video doesn't like my creep culture talk. It might be controlled by a straight white male comic who doesn't want me to talk about this. man, creep culture goes so back. It goes all the way back. My mom tells me this crazy story when my oldest brother was born, and she must have been no more than 17 or 18 years old because my mom got married very young. And she tells me this crazy story that she's like in this shopping area, and she's holding my oldest brother, baby at the time, and she's waiting for my dad, and this guy's passing by. And he just like swipes and just grabs my mom's boob and just keeps walking. And my mom is in like shock that this guy just like swiped my boob. But that's how further back the creep culture goes. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's been around for the ages. Listen, I got my ass back when I was like 13 years old, you know, in Pakistan, in like a crowded football field while there was like a shopping thing going on, and this guy legit just came out and grabbed my ass, and I was like 13 years old. I was like this young teenage girl. I wasn't even a grown woman then. Today I'll probably punch him in his face if he does that to me. But I mean, it's just the predatory behavior has just been around for ages, and men have had no repercussions for it. And this is a shift of This is a paradigm shift of power, and a lot of creepy guys don't know what the fuck to do with themselves. I'm really glad that the creep culture is being called out. I am not sad about it for 1 second. I think the microaggressions that I have personally experienced and seen other female comics experience on stage, like, ooh, I had this one comic once tell me, I was getting up on stage, he was like, her jeans is real tight tonight. What the fuck kind of intro is that? Russ Peters telling me, oh, I've been trying to fuck her ever since I met her, to me while bringing me up on stage. Or if you fuck me, offstage, they're saying, if you fuck me, I will take you on tour with me. I mean, all this shit needs to go. All this stuff needs to be aired out. If you're a sexual predator, you're going to be called out. This is the age we live in, and just get with it. This is a bad time to be a predator. I know I said it before, but I'm going to say it again. If you are a sexual predator, get help. You will lose your livelihood. You will lose your reputation. You will lose pretty much everything that you have. Get help. There's a lot of therapists out there. If you're a pedophile, I'm sorry. There's no cure for you. I personally think that all pedophiles, when convicted, should be put to death. But that's just me. Some people might consider me extreme. I'm totally fine with it because I personally feel that pedophiles destroy lives. That also goes to the pedophiles that are currently hiding in the Catholic Church. Those motherfuckers need to go. Hey, Tim, welcome back. Male comics and I think men in general are like, you know, really, really dealing with this, really are in conflict of how to compliment a woman without coming across creepy. Okay, here's how you do it, guys. Okay, I'll make it super easy for you guys. You like a woman, she's beautiful, you want to talk to her, you walk up to her, you say, hi, my name is Tim, my name is James. You look very nice today. Oh, well, thank you very much, Tim or James. I appreciate that. That's very sweet of you. Do you come here often? Or do you know anybody here? Or what brought you here? Just have a conversation like a person, okay? I'm telling you, I know a lot of men make women out to be these complex creatures. Just this simple gesture of you just walking up and being a gentleman is good enough for us. And if we like you, we're engaged in your conversation, and we continue to talk to you, we like you. We want to have a conversation with you. If you have maybe tried to flirt with us and we flirted back, we clearly like you. But if you flirted with us and we didn't flirt back, that is your sign. Don't flirt any further. Not interested. Just want to have a conversation with you like a person, and then we're just going to go our merry ways, okay? And can I make it any simpler than that? I don't know how else to make it any simpler. Inappropriate, kind of being inappropriately sexually, inappropriate, you know, or trying to make like weird comments, trying to say weird shit. Don't. Stop it. I don't like that. Nobody likes that. It's super creepy. It's weird. All you have to do is win a woman's trust. Just don't be creepy. Don't be creepy. Maybe she likes you, maybe she doesn't, okay? Just don't be fucking creepy. Don't do it to yourself. If you just make the attempt of being a gentleman, okay? Whether the kind of quality of man or woman that you're trying to have in your life, you're going to get them, okay? You're not going to get canceled. So what I'm trying to say is put your dick away. Put it away. If the guy or the girl that you're with, and if they want it, they'll ask for it. It's not that difficult. Pulling a dick out is not that hard. I'm sure gentlemen can approve that. So if you're getting canceled for being creepy, for being a predator, it's your time. It's your time for repercussion. You're getting called out. So prepare yourself. You have sown the seeds, and now you're going to reap the rewards. And that's what's happening to you. If you haven't subscribed to my channel, I highly recommend, please subscribe. I am doing my 30-day challenge. You will find me every single day, weekdays, 6:15 Pacific. I'm here. I don't know of all the 30 days thus far that I've done my video. Today's the first day that it started to break. I think my computer or my internet connection doesn't like me talking too much about the predatorial stuff. I hope it's not being controlled by Donald Trump. If it is, I can understand why he wants the video to break up. But I love you guys. James, by the way, thank you very much for your donations. I appreciate you so very much. Thank you for the sweet and kind notes that you send me. It really means the world to me. Tune in tomorrow, 6:15 Pacific, same time, same place. I'll see you tomorrow. And now my face is stuck. Have a good night.